Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And Karen Reed has been found not guilty of murder. That verdict came out literally right at 3 o'clock as we were starting. And the Supreme Court issue, the ruling on transgender mutilations and quote-unquote treatments for minors, we're going to talk about that with our buddy Sarah Parshall Perry from the Heritage Foundation. She's going to be joining us a little bit later this hour. So, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Friday, Cape May, live show. As I mentioned, you don't need a ticket. You don't need a ticket. Just come to the show. The bar will be open. Not an open bar, but the bar will be open. And we'll have a lot of fun. And we got great guests lined up. Jack Cittarelli, and we're going to talk to Jack Carr, and we're going to talk to the family who owns this farm in New Jersey that's being taken from them. We've got great guests lined up, and some in person, some on the phone, but you'll be there in person, and that's what matters. And I'll be there in person, even though it's a Friday, and even though I, well, yeah, no, I'll be at Fox News tomorrow. Just a head, yeah, because tomorrow I'll be at Fox News because apparently I'm doing America's Newsroom tomorrow. Good news. Hopefully I won't get bumped because it looks like this this whole Iran thing may be coming to a quick resolution, thank God, which is good. Not only for world peace, but also that I won't get bumped, which clearly matters more than in the scheme of things. Duh. And then I'll be hosting Jimmy Fallon's radio show and hosting my radio show tomorrow. So busy day tomorrow. Anyway, let's jump back into where we were with President Trump speaking in the Oval Office. We'll back up to the question that he was asked regarding his conversations with Israel and take a listen.
So we'll see what happens. I have not. I've been asked about it by everybody. But I haven't made a decision.
Mr. President, you talked earlier today about having daily conversations with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Yeah.
How have those conversations weighed on you in terms of getting more involved? You've been lobbying for the U.S. to get more involved. Has that had an impact in kind of your evolution, sir?
Look, we talk, and I'd like to see everything done. I would have preferred having just an agreement, a strong agreement, you know, verifiable agreement. But it was such a shame. They were so close. You know, Iran was very close to signing what would have been a very good agreement for them. And maybe that could still happen, I guess. You know, they do want to come and see us. They want to see me in the White House. That's a big statement. But it's very late.
Is it enough of a statement to hold off?
We're going to see what happens. Look, we're going to see what happens. Ending it as soon as you can would be good.
Have you closed the door on meeting with them?
No.
Okay, so it's still open to them coming here.
I mean, they asked if they could come. We'll see if that happens. It's not that easy for them to come. They can't get out. You know, they're in Iran, and in one case, the guy wanted to come so badly, but he can't get out because his bomb's dropping all over the place.
Have you seen the Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz interview? It seems like this issue on whether or not the United States should strike is kind of dividing a lot of your supporters.
No, my supporters are for me. My supporters are America First and Make America Great Again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon. Tucker's a nice guy. He called and apologized the other day because he thought he said things that were a little bit too strong. And I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me ever since, right? But very simple. If they think that it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon, then they should oppose me. But nobody thinks it's okay. People that don't want, I don't want to fight either. I'm not looking to fight. But if it's a choice between fighting and them having a nuclear weapon, you have to do what you have to do. Maybe we won't have to fight. Don't forget, we haven't been fighting. We add a certain amount of genius to everything, but we haven't been fighting at all. Israel's done a very good job of that. But we'll see what happens. The bottom line is they can't have nuclear. And if Ted, I can't imagine that Ted Cruz said it's okay for Iran to have nuclear, including Tucker. I don't think Tucker says it's okay. The problem is then they get themselves into a thing. They don't want them to have nuclear, but then they say, well, we don't want to fight. Well, you're going to have to make a choice because it's possible that you're going to have to fight for them not to have nuclear. And it's interesting because I did ask Tucker, I said, well, are you okay with nuclear weapons being in the hands of Iran? And he sort of didn't like that. He didn't want to really talk, but he sort of didn't like that. And I said, well, if it's okay with you, then you and I do have a difference. But it's really not okay with him. Therefore, you may have to fight. And maybe it'll end, and maybe it'll end very quickly. But there's no way that you can allow, whether you have to fight or not, you can allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon because the entire world will blow up. I'm not going to let that happen.
Mr. President, you had a bit of a row with President Emmanuel Macron of France the other day, the G7,
no,
it sounded like.
He's a nice guy. Look, he said I was going back home to make a ceasefire. Not a ceasefire. We're long beyond ceasefire. And I said, why do you say that? Why would you say ceasefire? It's a bad term to use. Because a ceasefire means like everything's going swimmingly, we'll take a little time off. It's not. We're not looking for a ceasefire. We're looking for a total, complete victory. Again, you know what the victory is. No nuclear weapon.
So I
thought it was a very badly worded statement by him, and obviously I let him know that.
On the southern border, you've had record low numbers for the month of May, 95 apprehensions, zero releases, compared to that of the previous administration exactly a year ago, more than 60,000 releases. What do you attribute that success to?
I like you. Who are you with?
Turning Point USA, sir.
Well, they're very good. Turning Point, Charlie, very good. See, that's what I call a good question, fellas. 1 out of 10, John. 1 out of 10, but that's a really good question. No, we had record good numbers on the border. And people are coming in, but they have to come in legally. Like some of these guys behind me, they have to come in legally. And if they come in legally, we want them. They have to say they love America, they love our country. And if they can't say that, we don't want them. Thank you very much. Very nice. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, so there you go. That's the president in the Oval Office. By the way, on that farm issue in New Jersey we talked about, Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture, tweeting out that she spoke with the United States Attorney for New Jersey, Alina Haba, to join the fight for the Henry Ranch in her home state of New Jersey. So that's really good. They will be on the show with us on Friday, the family who owns the ranch. And thanks to our buddy, the greater Chris, for sending me the story from our friends at Wake Up NJ. Another land grab going on in New Jersey, in Pine Beach, New Jersey. So we'll talk about that as well. A lot going on here today. Busy, busy day, as every single day is a busy, busy day. But there you go. That's the big takeaway from all this. The president saying that Iran wants to come and meet. Hopefully that happens, and hopefully that's what we get and what we see, and that would be fantastic if that is the case. Let me share this with you as well. I wanted to mention this. This is the case regarding so Ted, like, you know, the whole Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz thing. What can I say? I mean, you know, Trump said Tucker called him to apologize. He likes Tucker, and you know, MAGA seems to be divided over this. I don't really know. I know that what we see too often is that people start rushing to fight each other, and social media is just a sewer. It really, it's a sewer. You know, somebody made the comment that I'm not on there nearly as much as I should be. I disagree. I think I'm on there plenty. I don't need to be on there anymore, I think, because it's often a sewer. But I get good information from there, thanks to you, very often, because people send it to us. But beyond that, it's you go down a rabbit hole. Yeah, I mean, really, you start reading various tweets from this side of MAGAverse, that side of MAGA, and then they all start fighting with each other, and it just gets really ugly. And I'll tell you the reason why. All right, I'll tell you, this is, you're not going to hear this anywhere else, and then you'll hear it everywhere else. So I'm going to tell you why, and then you'll understand. Not that, I don't mean that to sound condescending, but I'm just saying that I often say things that become what other people repeat. So I'm going to say this right now, and then when you hear other people say it, then you'll know the reason. The reason why MAGA is fighting amongst each other right now on social media. And if you're not on social media, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but you've got like the, let's say the Tucker camp versus the Mark Levin camp. And you've got the Tucker camp accusing the Mark Levin camp of being these neocon warmongers who are all trying to lure President Trump into going to World War III. And you've got on the Tucker side, you got, so then, the, and then on the Mark Levin side, they're saying the Tucker camp, they're all anti-Israel and you know, back and forth and back and forth. If you listen to some of the radio shows or some of these online podcast thingies that people have, you might hear this stuff and see this stuff too. Why is all this happening? I'll tell you why. Many, many, many years ago, when I was involved in Jersey politics, I was a county chairman of a Republican county. And the Democrats up there had no presence whatsoever. And there was all this infighting within the Republican Party. There were two factions that were always fighting each other. And I, as the chairman, had to try to keep these two factions to work together and not kill each other. In politics, there always has to be an us versus them. That is a fundamental hallmark rule of politics. It has to be an us versus them. Right now, there's no them, meaning the Democrats. There's no opposition. We've crushed the opposition. Trump has crushed the opposition. The Democrat opposition doesn't exist. You've got clowns, you've got buffoons, you've got people who are out there, you know, grandstanding jackasses getting arrested and making their little speeches. But there's no opposition. The Republicans have control of the House and they have control of the Senate. The Republicans have control of the White House. The Democrats don't have a leader. There's no one person. The one person who's speaking out against the Democrats, and I've told you it's purely self-serving, is John Fetterman. And they're trying to take John Fetterman out. They want to get rid of John Fetterman because he's speaking out. Because Fetterman is smart enough to know that if he wants his political survival, he's got to pivot. But it's not authentic, and don't think it is. But since there isn't a them, then the fight has to be with somebody. So the fight becomes us versus us. And this is what you're seeing playing out over the Iran issue. And if it was a situation where you really had a concerted Democrat opposition, it would be very different. But you don't have that. And so in politics, since the fundamental rule of politics always is there has to be an us versus them. If there is no them, then the fight turns inward and then people start fighting with each other within a movement, within a political party. And it becomes very toxic and it's not easy. And so that's why the president deserves credit for saying like, yeah, Tucker called me. He's a good guy. Like we're good, because you don't want this kind of cancer to grow where you've got your side tearing each other apart. This is why, if you notice my strategy during these political primaries we have, is that I always try to take the point of saying, this is going to be over. Why don't we not kill each other in the process? Like, support who you want, but don't kill each other. Because at some point, you're going to have to come back together again and get the person who wins elected. And too often these things get really ugly and nasty and people get their social media muscles up and they start saying things they wind up regretting. They start making comments and they try to get more clicks and they do all these things. And then the primary ends and now it's like, oh, what do we do now? Well, you got to come together now. is what you got to do. And in politics, if there's no real opposition, then people have a tendency then to start fighting amongst themselves for the power within that group to be at the preeminence of MAGA. And I'm not saying there aren't people who are fighting over sincerely held beliefs. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that too often it gets very ugly, and it's the kind of vitriol that sometimes, as the song from Pearl Jam, some words when spoken can't be taken back. I always like the idea of, you know, Lincoln had this rule where if he was angry about somebody, he would write a letter and put it in his desk. And if he still felt that way the next morning, he would mail it out. I have about 482 letters that I've written to Matt DeSantis, which are all in my desk. It's actually so heavy right now, Justin, we should probably at some point recycle the. And I meant everything. I just forgot to mail them. But if he was here, I would have given it to him. But of course, he's not. And then I just forgot to mail him. Well, and also, I'm too cheap to buy postage.
We can give him to him tomorrow. He's going to be here tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah, you won't have to buy the stamps.
Yeah, but I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be in New York.
Oh,
so
that's for, oh, wow. Timing.
Friday yeah. it is.
Oh, maybe we'll bring him the Cape May.
There we go.
But Linda Kearns is going to be there, and she's going to probably try to seize them and take them all away so that you can't read them. So, you know, there's that. But no, that's what happens. You get into this ugly situation of us versus them. So that's why what you're seeing, that's the fundamental rule. One of my Zeoli axioms in politics, there always has to be an us versus them. And if there is no them, meaning there's no opposition, then too often people within a political party, the same political party, will fight each other. And there's no reason yet for people to be tearing each other apart over the Israel situation with Iran, because the president, either you trust his decision making, or you don't. If you don't trust it, why did you support him and why did you vote for him? You either got to trust the guy or not. That's it. And at this point, we're in the trust stage. You can offer your opinion and you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying that you don't have to start calling. It's like the name calling and the accusations and the and then it's like, well, you're not really MAGA. You're not really MAGA. It becomes like a really toxic echo chamber and it doesn't help anybody. If the Democrats had a solid opposition right now, it would be a different story because everybody would be united and aligned about going after them. But yeah, and you also see that a little bit with the One Big Beautiful Bill, too, where you see people tearing each other apart. You know, you're not really MAGA if you support this. And it's just you got to remember, because sometimes I get people who send me nasty things, too. I made a joke about, remember the joke I made about Kash Patel where I said, he should, I think it was either him or Bongino. I think it was Bongino who said they had to get the Jeffrey Epstein video. They had to work on the Epstein video to get it to be processed properly so that you could see it. And I made the joke about sending it to Legacy Box, you know, because they could do that in like a week. And someone sent me a note calling me an a-hole for making that comment about Bongino. It was like, you really sounded like such an a-hole today saying that about Dan Bongino. It's like, hey, first of all, it's a joke. All right. And second of all, it was a really good one. So I'm just saying, it's not all my jokes are, but that was, I think the Legacy Box one was one of my better ones. But I mean, like, we're all on the same team here, you know, like, just like take a breath and just like, give it 5 minutes. Give it 5 minutes and see if it all works out. And if it doesn't work out, well, then, okay, then, you know, start killing each other. But we're not at that stage yet. And it bothers me to see so much of this infighting that's happening within the Make America Great Again movement and people accusing each other of not being real. And it's just like, stop already, you know? Like, 5 minutes. Trump may use the bunker buster on Fredo. Fordow, but I call it Fredo. He may. It may, and that may wipe out Iran completely in terms of their ability to ever have nuclear energy whatsoever. I don't think it'll come to that. It may. I don't know. I'm not privy to the info. I'm not privy to the intel. I know this, though. If he doesn't maintain the posture like he's going to, then Iran will not want to talk to him. Iran will not want to make a deal because they're used to getting their way. and not having an administration that does anything about it. But the last time Trump was in charge and he said Iran should not have a nuclear weapon, we're not going to let him get it, and they killed Soleimani and Iran didn't do a damn thing because they couldn't. I think we're still at the give the guy 5 minutes and trust him stage in this whole thing. So that's how I see it. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court case on what happened with this transgender ruling. I think it was a good, excellent decision by the Supreme Court. Is it over? I don't know. We'll find out. Oh, yeah. Justin, what was that guy again? Who was the guy?
I forget where he was, where he's called in from, but it was like Bob something in somewhere in Pennsylvania. But you were obviously very sarcastically talking about kids smoking, and the guy
yes.
thought that you were 100% dead serious encouraging kids to smoke cigarettes.
I said that because the money goes to the schools. The tobacco tax, kids should have a stake in the game, and they should start smoking to help out with their own education. Because if all these cigarette taxes are going to schools, kids should start smoking. So I was encouraging kids to take up smoking in a clearly very sarcastic manner. And that guy called up very angry multiple times. Very angry.
And then when you talked about it, I remember Rich Scioli, big, tough guy, blank off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Isn't that too? I mentioned it up. He started cursing me out, too. Very funny. And of course, who can forget this guy?
Yeah. General Fugazi.
Remember him? And it's Fugazi, by the way. It's General Fugazi, not Fugazi.
Nah, 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 General Fugazi.
And in all seriousness, Dan Bongino really should send the Epstein tapes to Legacy Box. Because they, from what I hear, they do great work. Very quickly. Quick turnaround. And get it on thumb drive. It's on thumb drive, too. So, in case you lose it. You know what I mean? All right. So, let's talk about a couple things here. Let me play for you. This is a clip of Mikey Sherrill. We'll take a break because I know we have a guest coming up, right? So let's take a break. But let me tell you about, speaking of Bob, a different Bob, Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's Little Sports Shop on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. I love these guys. I'm so excited they're sponsors of the show. I'm really, really excited for their big, big 60th anniversary sale that they have going on. 60 years in business. They're getting a big proclamation from the county, and they deserve the proclamation because for 60 years, Bob's Little Sports Shop has been in business helping people keep safe, protect their families, responsible gun ownership. And their special sale that's going on June 24th through the 29th, celebrations throughout the store, special commemorative Henry rifles for sale. Go in and check it out. I love Bob's. I've loved Bob's ever since I heard Bob read his poems years ago. And I've been a customer of Bob's, and you'll love the people. You'll love the team. April, Wayne, Wendy, great people. Great selection of firearms. They got a range, training, classes. It's all there for you as well. And special week of sales from June 24th through the 29th. Military discounts as well. They're open daily Tuesday through Saturday. Bob's Little Sports Shop, Delsey Drive in Glassboro. They're my store. They're your store, too. Go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com. BobsLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty. On a busy Wednesday, we got breaking news coming out of the White House. We got breaking news coming out of New Jersey. I'll play the clip of Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat nominee for governor, who has no idea what she wants to do as governor, no plan whatsoever. But a big win today in the United States Supreme Court. Welcome back to the show. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. I saw him today for my perfect smile. He's my dentist, VeneriaDental.com. I want to welcome back to the show Sarah Parshall Perry, senior legal fellow for the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Also the host of the Case in Point podcast. Sarah, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I am well, and today's a good day, so we have lots to celebrate.
Today's a great day, actually, and you should definitely follow Sarah on X at Sarah P. Perry. United States Supreme Court making a big ruling upholding a transgender medical procedure ban for minors in the state of Tennessee. Break down this case for us and how it got to the Supreme Court in the first place.
Yeah, this is a case coming out of the Sixth Circuit, and this was three minor individuals and their parents, all identifying as transgender, plus one individual doctor. And this went all the way to the Supreme Court because the lower court determined that this ban was constitutional. Now, somewhere in the proceedings, right at the Sixth Circuit level, then Attorney General Merrick Garland filed a motion to intervene, saying that for the United States, this is a case of significant national importance. That is usually the posturing of when the United States wants to get involved, specifically so when there are the constitutionality of particular state laws at issue. They want the Supreme Court to weigh in. Well, as you remember, obviously, there was a change of administration. And at some point, the United States was no longer hostile to the state of Tennessee's interest. That prompted Sarah Harris, who was then acting Solicitor General for the United States, to say, we are no longer adverse to each other, but the parents still stand in opposition to the state of Tennessee on the constitutionality of the ban. So please don't dismiss it. And that's kind of shorthand for a very long, very formal letter to the justices. But what the Supreme Court ruled today was that Tennessee's ban on so-called gender-affirming care for minors was entirely constitutional. It only had to meet what was called rational basis review. That's the lowest constitutional level of scrutiny. It simply requires a state to indicate that its aims are constitutional, it's got an important interest, and it has passed a law directly related to that important interest. And here, Chief Justice Roberts, who wrote for the 6-3 majority, pointed out extensively that these procedures are highly controversial, they are highly debatable, and actually mentioned by name the bombshell Cass report that we saw just a few months ago coming out of England, in which pediatrician Judge Hillary Cass said specifically, listen, there is shaky foundational footing for these particular procedures. The evidence is lacking. We need to approach this with a high degree of skepticism. That made an appearance in today's Supreme Court decision. traditionally, and as I think many of us assumed, the liberals joined together in a dissent, basically saying this has to be a situation in which we apply Bostock versus Clayton County. Remember, that was the employment discrimination case from 2020 that also outlawed not just sex discrimination in employment, but gender identity and sexual orientation discrimination as well. Basically saying, well, if we did it there, we have to do it here. And the court responded by saying, we've never taken a constitutional analysis and applied it to a statutory claim. Title VII is an employment discrimination statute. This is an equal protection claim under the Constitution's 14th Amendment. We have no reason to extend Bostock, and we're not going to do it today. In the end, there was a very pointed nod to the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health decision, as you remember, from 2022, in which the Supreme Court said, these are the questions we want to leave to the people and their elected representatives. That was exactly what the Supreme Court said in its closing opinion today.
Sarah Parshall Perry, let me ask you, I heard one of the news reports this comment about the case may not be over. There might be another part of this that the justices may have to hear. Is that true?
So it's very interesting that you should bring that up. There are still two pending gender medicine cases that were just rescheduled for consideration on Friday. Now, why are they still up there? Well, one is LW versus Scribetti. This is simply the parents' challenge on a parental rights analysis against the state of Tennessee. That case was bifurcated. It was split off, and the Supreme Court only took the United States' case. So they may consider to take that up. They may rule on whether or not there is actually a parental right to get these procedures. But what I think is more likely to happen is that they will do something called a GVR. That's a grant, vacate, and review. That means they will grant review and simply say, go back to the square one and reassess this claim in light of what we just determined in United States versus Scrimeti. There is also a case coming out of Tennessee, Doe X Rel Kentucky. And this is one of those situations where I think we're going to see the exact same thing. I think the Supreme Court on Friday will pick it up, say, see our decision in Scrimeti, and send it back down to the lower court.
So let's try to unpack that in this notion of parental rights. Like the argument would be, I have a right to let my kid mutilate their body. I have a right as a parent, and the state can't overrule my right to make these life-altering procedures for my children. Is that the argument?
That is basically the argument, Rich. It's very simple at bottom, basically saying that that right to generally direct your child's medical care includes providing these experimental, unproven, highly controversial, and irreversible treatments. Now, first of all, the Supreme Court's never held there's a constitutional right to medical care at all of any nature. What it has held is that there's a constitutional right to refuse medical care in certain proceedings. But if the Supreme Court has said there's no rights to constitutional medical care for adults, how much more would it, when faced with that question, be likely to say, oh, and by the way, you can't get experimental treatment for your kids either. That's not something that's rooted in the Constitution's conception of what it looks like to have parental rights.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm all for parental rights, but if I believe that, you know, heroin was the key to getting my chubby 15-year-old to lose some weight and started giving him heroin, I don't think anyone could make an argument that I have a parental rights claim here. I mean, we've long held that the state has some role to play here in protecting children from parents who make really bad decisions for them, whether it's giving them alcohol, whether it's giving them drugs. And I would argue that, you know, letting a 15 or 16 year old girl chop her boobies off fits into that category.
Well, that's exactly it. And Rich, this is exactly why states have child protective services agencies that work to prevent the harm to minors that parents may engage in. Listen, at a certain point, the state can step in a positioning called parens patriae. This is simply a Latin term that means in the place of a father or in the place of a family member. When a state sees a minor population, a vulnerable population of individuals, it has a right to come in and say, we're going to legislate to make sure that these individual children do not have access to things that are harmful to them. It's why, for example, we can't see individuals under the age of 18 signing contracts, buying booze,
right,
buying cigarettes, getting access to pornography, registering for the draft. We do it for other things. This was a totally common sense law coming out of the state of Tennessee, but it will not surprise me if we see increasing challenges on the parental rights basis that are going to force the court at one point or another to have to wrestle with what exactly does that parental right look like when it comes to medicine.
Sarah Parshall Perry is with me right now. It's great to have her on the show. Heritage Foundation Senior Legal Fellow for the Edwin R. Meester Third Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Yeah, it's like it's in my mind, you know, there are bad parents out there. I think everybody agrees with that. I think that parents have rights to make decisions for their children. And I don't want the state coming in and saying things like, you know, if you give your kids Skittles, you're a bad parent, we're going to come and take you, you know, your kids away from you. But this is the kind of thing that is so dangerous and so detrimental to children. And yet, you're going to hear people in the medical community argue that, well, in some cases, these procedures and these medicines and these other things are necessary, and these decisions should be best left between a parent and a doctor. You're going to hear that, obviously, Sarah. I'm sure you've heard it before. I'm sure it's been in briefs. What's the response to that? What do you say?
Well, you know, it's a great question, because the Supreme Court has routinely said that when minors are at issue, you have to take into account their immaturity and their inability to recognize future consequences of their actions. In fact, the Supreme Court's weighed in when it comes to criminal cases, for example. When you've got a juvenile who's being tried for murder, very often in sentencing procedures, when these cases come before federal courts and good state court judges, they have to say, this is a child who didn't recognize the gravity of what they were doing, right? Or the significance, or didn't possess the sort of presence of mind to be able to conceive of what their actual actions were going to impact.
Right.
So the Supreme Court in other contexts, when it comes to criminal law, has recognized that you've got to identify that children lack the maturity and the intelligence at certain points in their lives to actually make lifelong decisions. And so we can't always treat them like adults. Now, certainly in aggravated cases, we can. But when it comes to medicine, the damning reports coming out of, for example, WPATH, the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, who admits its own doctors have said, we're not getting informed consent. We are basically talking to a brick wall. When you tell a 15-year-old girl, you're never going to be able to carry children, you're never going to be able to nurse children, you're going to be rendered infertile and sterile for the rest of your life, there is absolutely no conception of what that means in her life. And even the doctors themselves, these gender ghouls, and that's what I call them,
yeah,
because they are profiteering.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm glad you said that, because there's an entire industry here of people who are preying on this and preying on these kids and preying on these parents and saying things to these parents like, well, you know, if you don't let Susie chop her boobies off, she's going to kill herself.
That's it. That's exactly it. And unfortunately, we have only begun, I think, to sort of recognize, with the sort of rise of detransitioners and desisters, kids who wait to go through normal puberty before they go at 18, 19, 20. What was I thinking? This was clearly not something that was an obvious medical diagnosis. I was finding a way to fit in, or I was finding a way to make peace with puberty that's not comfortable for anybody. I don't know if it was for you, Rich, but I have three kids of my own, 16, 18, and 21. Let me tell you, it wasn't great for them. It wasn't great for me either. But if you bite the bullet and you get through it, 80 to 90% of these kids will never again express gender incongruence or gender dysphoria. I think that is the takeaway from this actual case, is that in the end, the Supreme Court recognized, holy cow, these are questions we have to leave to the people and their elected representatives. We're not in a position to legislate from the bench and make medical judgments. And the science right now, even if we were to use it, is lacking. All the more reason to give states flexibility to legislate.
Sarah, so then, I mean, that's good news, except when it comes to a state, say like a wacko blue state, like Tennessee is right, in my opinion, to ban this for minors. Absolutely. No question about it. What happens when you get a wacky state like California or some other state that says, we're not only going to allow this, we're going to pay for it. We're going to encourage it. I mean, what happens then? I mean, does the federal government have any authority over that? Does the Supreme Court have the ability to tell California in that hypothetical instance, no, you're allowing parents and doctors to harm children? Like, what happens in that case?
Well, I tell you, we've sort of seen a burgeoning trend of medical malpractice. And I think that's the way to actually confront the hospitals that are performing these particular procedures, but also for individuals who are harmed, minors that are harmed and have standing to say, California passed this law, enforced this law. It allowed me to get X procedure. I can point to the causality of this particular piece of legislation, and I'm going to drag the state officers into court for pushing forward what was child butchery, because now I've you know, had a double mastectomy, or now I am infertile, or now my growth is stunted, or I have liver cancer, all of which, by the way, have been tied to these procedures. It's unfortunately, and this is the painful reality of exactly what this industrial complex has given us, it's going to result in someone who's been injured enough to actually have the standing to bring a federal lawsuit. But I will guarantee you, we will see that before this is all over.
I mean, it's just, you know, like as a dad of three kids, I mean, I think about this all the time. What, you know, the things that kids are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. And on this wacky issue, we're told that kids, even 8 years old, in some cases even younger, know exactly, and you can't stand in their way. And you know, like, I went to a carnival the other night with my kids, and my daughter wasn't tall enough to ride a ride, and she's 8, and so she couldn't ride the ride. However, in some states, if she said, "Dad, I want to be a boy," and I tried to stand in her way, I'd be the problem. You know, I mean, this is why, how freaking nuts this whole thing is. So at least today was a good day in the sense that they said Tennessee can up, this ban can be upheld. And I do think the tide is turning on this. I really do. I just feel bad for the kids out there whose parents are lunatics, who are dedicated to this cause, who are devotees to this, and to the elected officials, and to the medical establishment that allows this to occur. So then the last question I have for you, Sarah Parshall Perry, is what role does, if any, the Secretary of Health and Human Services have in all of this?
Oh, that's a great question. I tell you what, the first thing I would do, and there is movement right now in Congress and for the executive agencies to be able to do this, is to cut off the financial tap. Because once we are not covering these procedures with Medicaid, and by the way, 80% of procedures, yes, we are getting covered by Medicaid, by state exchanges. Because, of course, the state governments don't want to have to come off their own dime. Private employers don't want to have to come off their own dime. All they have to do is to look to the feds and say, listen, they're printing money. They're sending money to the state to be able to approve these providers, to pay through these providers. The minute you cut off that federal tap, I think we are going to see this dry up in incredible amounts. Doctors are clearing $15,000 to $20,000 after insurance every single procedure. That is unacceptable. But if you cut off the financial head of this snake, I think it's going to wither. And that's the first thing that I would recommend that the Secretary of HHS do.
And then we'll stop cutting off genitals after we cut off the head of the snake. By the way, before I let you go, do you remember that Saturday Night Live skit many, many decades ago where they joked about that doctor who every baby that was born the wrong gender and he had to go and operate on them? And that was, they actually made a joke about that decades ago. Of course, they would never do that skit today, but
so incredibly prescient, right?
Yeah.
Who would know that this would be reality 25 years hence?
Sarah Parshall Perry, always love having you on the show. Your analysis is fantastic. Follow Sarah on X at Sarah P. Perry. And of course, we thank you for all your great work at the Heritage Foundation. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks again, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along today, we want to remind you, Friday is the day we'll be live in Cape May for our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So I want you to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. These live shows are always fun. And if you don't go, you're going to have a serious case of missing out. FOMO, as they call it. Look, when it comes to your home, protection, peace of mind, and craftsmanship are paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. They even have a new bathroom division. That's right. Emmons remodeled the kitchen and the bathroom in my old home, and my wife was thrilled. Happy wife, happy life, guys. You know this. And the design team at Emmons, they are the best. Every single one of my listeners, each and every one of you, 10% off inflation relief discount on Anderson Windows, doors, siding, roofing, every project that they do. How's that roof doing in your home? Get Emmons to give you a free roof inspection. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't, but if you do, you'll get the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business by far. That's Emmons. That's the Emmons difference. And they serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. Have them come to your home and upgrade it just like they upgraded mine. We first used them in our old house 10 years ago, I guess. Replaced the roof. I said, wow, great job. Let's do the windows. And then they remodeled the bathroom and they remodeled the kitchen. And the new home, they've already replaced some doors for us. New projects are on the way. So if they're good enough for my home, you know they're good enough for yours. EmmonsRoofing.com. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So we got a lot of news, a lot of breaking news, a lot of news around Iran and a lot of stuff that the president said earlier today. So we're going to get into all that with you as well as the show continues. And there's another farm in New Jersey that they're coming after now, or another piece of land, I should say, in New Jersey that they're coming after as well. But let me just in case you're wondering with regards to the New Jersey governor's race, just how bad of a candidate Mikey Sherrill is going to be. So I got this clip earlier today. It's now going viral. I'm trying to understand how bad this is, but I'll read you what Jack Chitterelli said on Instagram. He said, what did he say here? He said, forget not having solutions to our state problems. Mikey doesn't even know what the problems are. So listen to this.
If you could pass one piece of legislation,
what would it be?
Wow, I would love, that's a really good question because there's so many that are coming to mind right now. But right now, I would love at this point to pass legislation to send a federal block grant back to states, back to the state of New Jersey.
To run some really key programs and innovate on them.
Huh? What? Oof. Okay, so you can see why I think Jack has a really, really good chance of becoming governor in November. Now, That's going to require, obviously, everybody who didn't support him in the primary to suck it up and vote for him in the general election. Because if that doesn't happen, then he won't win. And you'll be stuck with that idiot for 4 years, like we've been stuck with this idiot for 8 years. So that's what has to happen here, because there's a lot at stake in this election, no doubt about it. But think about it, right? Imagine you got this farm in New Jersey where they're trying to seize it to build affordable housing. And I use air quotes for that because it's not affordable housing. But we're going to use that as the moniker, obviously, because that's what is under statute. You have 165,000 units that are supposed to come online in New Jersey. Right now, the United States Secretary of Agriculture, the United States Attorney for New Jersey, are all working to save a family farm from being condemned by a town that wants to seize it for eminent domain purposes and build this quote-unquote affordable housing on it. Imagine if you had a Democrat, if you had a Republican governor right now in New Jersey who could work with the Republican White House on all these issues. Imagine how great that would be. And this is the case that I will be helping to make from now until November. Imagine what that would be like to actually have that kind of a partnership. See, Mikey Sherrill is going to run against Trump, but think of what you can accomplish when you have a Republican governor and a Republican president in the White House. My God, imagine. Big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.